What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Hot Take, where I and my co-host Nat give you our hottest takes on mainly NBA topics, some other topics that we have lined up for today. And again, man, it's been another couple of weeks. So before the last time we spoke, it was right before the playoffs, like fully got going.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now the first round is done. Second round is set.
A few round two games have happened since the last time we talked. I think just a couple, I believe, or just one, I think.
Just one. Yeah,
so, okay.
Which is also interesting. But before we get into round two, obviously we have to recap round one.
I don't want to. Just kidding.
We'll save your team and my team for last, you know, in our respective conferences. Okay. So let's go ahead and we'll do what we did last week. We started with the East. Go with the East. And what we did last time was we gave like who we thought the winner was going to be and in how many games. And then who the leading scorer would be for each series. So again, we'll start with the East. Let's go ahead. We'll start with the Knicks and Philly first. So Knicks beat Philly 4-2.
Yep.
I think you and I were in agreement with that.
We were.
One for one so far, 100%. Do you remember who you said you had as the leading scorer?
Did I choose Embiid? I might have chosen Embiid.
I think you did.
I was dead wrong.
I had Brunson, which I'm pretty sure it was Brunson.
I mean, it's got to be, right? Yeah. Either that or Maxey.
Don't get me started on Maxey. We'll come back to Maxey.
So is it just quick thoughts on the series?
Yeah, quick thoughts.
So, I mean, I would have chosen the Knicks even if Embiid was 100%. I think if Embiid was hurt or not, or, you know, 80% or below or above, it doesn't matter. I think the Knicks still would have won the series. I just think that they've hit their stride. The team just gels together well and has very good team chemistry. And especially with OG back, I think he's a big piece of their defense and their overall team structure. So he's back, and I think, you know, this team can go far in the playoffs. Sucks for the Philly, though. I mean, when Tobias Harris goes for zilch in the game, you know,
elimination
game of the series.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that kind of tells you where your team's at. So I don't think he'd be on Philly next season either. Separate topic for a separate discussion. But
Tobias Harris over me?
Gosh. Yeah, and Maxey just kind of went crazy. I think for like a good part of the series, or not good part, but like a certain part of the series, like Philly was trying to like defer to Embiid over Maxey, but I think you had to be Maxey over Embiid for this whole series, and they didn't do that for the whole series, and that's kind of what it cost them too. So
I feel like the thing that stuck out to me this series was obviously the Philly's not nearly deep enough, which makes me even more mad that we lost to them in that first play-in game. Secondly, I kind of for the longest time was a good, like, I would say like a fair fan of Joel Embiid. Like if you were to tell me like, oh yeah, Miami's gonna pursue Joel Embiid this summer, I'd be like, totally go for it. Him and Jimmy got chemistry. But especially in this series, like you see it more and more now. I can't stand this dude. Just because same, of how dirty he is, bro.
Same.
So dirty. Like what he tried to do to Mitchell.
Mitchell Robinson.
Yep. Yeah. I was like, yo, what are you doing? And just like the little like Goonie stuff, like diving at people's legs, hitting people below the belt, like
foul baiting.
Foul baiting.
He's trying to shoot. Yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah, I don't. They deserve to lose that series after that. I can't stand that.
Me personally, I can't stand Philly. Like just in general.
Right.
Like that team. So I was happy that the Knicks won that series.
Next series, Milwaukee and Indy. You and I both had Pacers in six.
Yes.
Do you remember who you had for leading scorer?
Was it Halliburton?
No, I think you and I both had Dame.
Oh, Dame? Yeah.
Yeah. But lame obviously, time. Dame lame got time. Yeah. Dame got hurt.
Oh, anything, man. I mean, yeah, A first is not good.
Anything of note from this series that stood out to you?
I'm just sad that the Dame and Giannis thing didn't work this year. I mean, granted, injuries happened. Giannis got a calf strain, and then Dame's got the Achilles. soreness. So when Dame first signed in the offseason, I thought, oh my God, this team's going to be going far. They're going to be elite. That's what I thought at first. But then over time, with the regular season and this postseason, I'm like, man, this team just doesn't work. I mean, even they had a good chance too with Middleton playing well, and they had the one game without either of them, without Dame or Giannis, and they still won the game. That was pretty shocking to me. But Indy is just also same with Knicks almost, where they're just gelling together well, and they've got good momentum going ahead of them, and now they play each other in the second round, which is even better. So
I think you said the key phrase there, like they gelled at the right time, whereas I feel like the Bucks never really gelled throughout the course of the season, whether it be to the injury or like coaching styles, whatever the case is. Like even going forward, like I don't think it's going to work this tandem.
Well, when you change coaches midseason to Doc Rivers, I mean, yeah.
Well, not only that, but I thought it was just wonky that like you had a winning record, like you were second in the East, and then you make that coaching change. I thought that spoke volumes to me. So that tells me, like, even going forward, it doesn't matter if you give Doc more time with these players. I don't think they're going to be anything higher than a 3 seed next season. Oh, yeah, as currently constructed.
Yeah, and you know who'd be a great coach to be pulling in Doc's place if he gets fired?
J.J. Redick.
Darvin Ham. Coach those guys, all right? Don't go anywhere near L.A., all right? Coach those guys. But sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I should have gotten there.
Oh, Lord. Okay, probably the only... Yeah, it was the only 7-game series of the first round. This one broke my heart because I was doing really, really well up until this point. I had the Magic in 7. You had the Cavs in 7. You beat me there. I had Banchero as my leading scorer. I think you had Donovan, which, you know, it was just so frustrating because Orlando, they just didn't show up for Game 7. Like, they played fairly well up until that point, and then they just nothing.
I need to see Franz's box score for Game 7 because I think he missed almost all of his shots. He was like 1 of 15, I think, from the field. I think 1 of 15. That's insane, dude, for Game 7 especially. I watched that Game 7 too, and they just couldn't shoot, man. Like, they couldn't make any of the shots. And, like, they're a pretty good defensive team, but that didn't matter with the Cavs. And what's crazy is that the Cavs missed Jared Allen too. Like, they didn't have him in the lineup, and they still were able to win that game. So I think Game 7, like the first quarter, the Magic were up like 11 or 13 at the end. I was like, oh, it's a pretty good start. I think they're going to win. And then over time, it was just, oh, they lost the lead. Now they're, you know, in a deficit, and they just lost.
I thought at that point too that I was fully bought into the Magic and that, you know, if they were going to make it to the next round, they would face the Celtics and kind of give the Celtics a tough time because they gave them a tough time during the regular season. During the regular season? Bro, they've owned the Celtics.
What was the record? Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Celtics demolished them in the play-in tournament, like in those like play-in games. I'm sorry. In the in-season tournament, they were like in the same, like they were in the same group. I remember them destroying the Magic.
Last season, for whatever reason, like Orlando always had their number. And then if you think about it, I know like you mentioned the defense and like how it didn't matter, but I felt like they would have showed out more against the Celtics just because they've done fairly well against the Celtics. I thought they matched up well roster wise against Boston more than any other team in the East.
Yes. Okay, that I agree with. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, it's just hard to bet against Donovan Mitchell in those like clutch situations because he went crazy. He almost got 40 last night. Yesterday afternoon. So
we'll bring
like,
up
like if you want to talk about like big playoff performers, I think Mitchell is one of them. Like, he's always gonna show up.
We'll bring him up again later on in the podcast.
Whoa, okay.
We'll save the last series later on. We'll move to the West. So first was OKC and New Orleans. I had the Thunder winning in 5. And you agreed. You had the Thunder winning in 5. We were both wrong. They swept. For me, when it came to the series, something of note, this series did not stand out to me at all. I don't think I watched a single game from this series.
I watched the first game and that was it.
Like, yeah. It was just uninteresting to me. Like, it wasn't competitive or nothing. So,
if they had Zion, I would have watched it. But, right. You know.
But I mean,
yeah, it's just a classic one seed just demolishing the eight seed, typical fashion. So,
right. Do you have anything else of note for that series?
Not really.
Yeah, no. I got nothing.
I mean, I'm curious to see what New Orleans does in the offseason. Like, do they keep Ingram? I don't know. We'll see.
We'll get to them also later on. The next one was Minnesota and Phoenix. So I had Minnesota.
I'm ashamed of what I picked for this.
I had Minnesota winning in six. You had Suns in seven. And they swept.
I know they did. I mean, what do
you got to say about this series?
Like, where do I begin? I mean, maybe I just see. All right, here's what I'll say. Here's my excuse for that prediction. In the regular season, the Suns were 3-0 in their series matchup. So that's what like geared me towards saying Suns in seven. But yeah, the T-Wolves just like turned the whole script around for the playoffs. They demolished them. And we're seeing Ant rise up as one of these superstars in the league now. And, you know, who saw this coming, honestly? And I feel bad for KD. Like, KD, I read, like, the whole, like, all the articles, all of the, all the writers explaining, like, the Suns' future and how they have no draft picks until 2030. I'm sorry, no first-round picks until 2030. They can't trade Beal because he has no trade clause. Like, they got the signed minimum guys pretty much for the next, you know, offseason because the salaries just don't allow for that. So
I'll just quickly add real quick. In addition to no first round picks till 2030, they starting next season, 2025 to 2030, they have no second round picks either. So they're locked in.
Damn, bro. They got all the third round picks. It's like, wow. I mean, yeah. So like that even just hurts even more. And like, I saw Ishbia saying like, oh, you know, like we're in good shape. Like, don't worry. Like, you know, we'll build around Kevin Durant. Like, no. I mean, it's over. And like, I don't know how they bounce back. It's really hard. I don't know how they bounce back.
For me, when it came to this series, the thing that stood out to me was, I think you saw how Anthony Edwards, much like his half brother Jimmy Butler, they take it up a notch in the playoffs.
Are you sure? Because I think he's always like that. He just is always like that dog.
He would, because to your point, in the regular season, the Suns, you know, they had like the 3-0, you know, sweep against record. Them.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, once playoff time came, this is like his second playoff? Second playoff series.
Yes.
He knows what it was like last year. I think this year he wanted to show even more. And you kind of saw that in the series. Like, he wasn't necessarily the leading scorer, but he did everything that needed to be done in order to get the team the win. And on top of that, defensively, he just took it up a notch that you didn't really see in the regular season. And then what I loved about it, it was very, very similar. And there was like all the stuff on social media about when KD was coming up and he was going up against Kobe. Now it's Anthony Edwards going up against KD. And like, KD's loving it. Like, he, you know, he's going to give Ant his flowers. There's a good mutual respect there. It's going to be interesting to watch them play like Team USA together. I think that's going to be great for them. So for me, it was this now is Anthony Edwards' like coming out party. And we'll kind of touch on it a little bit later on when we get to the second round. But he's kind of making a statement like, this is now.
We're one not more the thing same to that, too. To add to your point, though, I think the game one post-game interview that he had with TNT after game one in round two, he was like, I credit a lot of the success to playing FIBA last summer. Like, that geared him up for this season. So I think that also played a big part of it too. Like, him playing in those like high pressure stakes, playing with, you know, like some of the best talent in our league, in the league. Like, I think that kind of helped him out in this playoffs too.
It's interesting for me too, because I was joking saying like, you know, he's like his half brother, Jimmy Butler, but even in a lot of the post game interviews, he never praises himself. That's always his teammates.
Yeah.
Like, the way he's gassing up Kat, the way he's gassing up Rudy, Mike Conley, is very Jimmy Butler-esque.
Definitely.
So, like, for me personally, like, We're a couple minutes into the pod. Total Heat culture guy, bro. Total Heat culture. Pat Riley needs to work some magic this summer.
You know what? You should manifest that. You should, because what else have you got? You know, you might as well just start throwing Hail Marys. You should. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, that's never happening, bro. Knowing our luck, we're going to get Anthony Edwards like 20 years from now when he's well past his prime. Pat Riley's still going to be running the Heat.
Yeah.
Anything else? Oh, wait. I have some like little notes here.
Oh, no. I'm scared.
Oh, how about Naz Reid, bro?
I didn't watch Naz Reid much in that first round.
He really showed up.
Regardless. Yeah.
I mean, like, he didn't really do well in the first round. I mean, we'll get to the second round, but, like, man, he's... We joked around, you know, last time, like, about Naz Reid being, like, a Heat culture guy. Man, he's good, bro. He's so good.
I'm so upset because I think he was a free agent last offseason. I was so mad that we didn't get him.
He was.
So mad.
Did you see the interview that they did with Rudy Gay? And, like, Rudy Gay telling the story about watching the game with his sons?
No.
Okay, remember the play? I think it was in the final game when Anthony Edwards beat the defender. Oh, it was Bradley Beal. He got past Bradley Beal and dunked on Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So Rudy Gay was watching the game with his sons, and his 10-year-old son goes, "Oh, he just dunked on KD's bald spot."
Not the bald spot. Oh, man.
Kids are so disrespectful, bro.
It'd be like the most like honest feedback, though, that I don't get from kids.
Oh, 100%. So,
KD, you just got to shave it off, man. Just let it go. It's okay.
I know I'm beating the dead horse here, but he's so Michael Jordan-esque with his movements, his fadeaways, his dunks, the way he attacks, his mindset, bro. It's so scary. Like, I'm fully convinced that he's his illegitimate son and Jimmy Butler is his half-brother.
The wildest thing, too, is that he's only 22 years old.
Yes.
Only 22 years old.
Yes. Did you see the, I don't know if it's conspiracy, but apparently there was an interview with Michael Jordan. And while he was playing for Washington in his later years, he said, like, you know, there was like 4 or 5 girls, you know, a night or a week or something like that. So around that time, you know, he's like, I'm probably got a couple kids out there somewhere. And around that time.
This is real? That's a real interview? Are you sure?
Yeah, it was like with Stephen A. Smith, I think. And then like.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I've been seeing it everywhere. And then like the funny thing is like from that point, you know, 9 months later, Anthony Edwards was born. So like, I don't know, man. We got to see.
I really want to know. That might be like some kind of troll account. I don't know. It just sounds too
good to
be true.
I gotta send it to you. Also, you know, let's talk about like the other thing I love about Ant is like he gives people his, you know, their flowers. Like, you know, he was praising KD and everything like that. But also, people were asking him about like what he felt when people compare him to Michael Jordan. Do you hear his response?
He's like, don't compare me to him. Like, I'm not deserving of it or something like that.
He was like, Michael Jordan is the GOAT. Like, you know, stop it. Like, don't compare me to him. So even Anthony Edwards recognizes MJ as the GOAT, bruh.
I mean, some don't see the light, you know, and you got to just help them, you know, show them the path. So don't worry, Ant. We'll get there, bro. It's okay.
I don't know. Maybe LeBron could help show him the path when he's throwing his tantrums on the court.
Oh, here we go. He's getting hacked endlessly.
Bro,
no one's calling it.
Michael Jordan used to get punched mid-air never threw a tantrum, bro. They tackled my man's mid-air. Anyway,
that's a whole new episode. Yeah.
Okay. Next one was Clippers and Dallas. I said Mavs in 7. Mm-hmm. You and I both agreed with that. But they won in 6.
Yeah.
I think you and I are on the same page when we say one thing of note in this series. Kyrie Irving. Oh, my God.
Killer, bro.
Do you see that double clutch?
That one layup like against Harden, PG, and Mann. He was like
with the double clutch. Yeah. Oh, bro. I watched it as it happened. It was beautiful. I was like, there's no... But you know what was so sad about that game? That's the game that they lost. They came back from like more than 30 down. And I was like, bro, if they win this, like, that's all time, bro. I wanted so badly for them to win.
Yeah.
Luka didn't show up.
And, like, the series in general, I wanted it to be, like, a tight-knit series or, like, a, you know, engaging series. But it just, the Clippers just fell off, man, towards the end. It was kind of sad to watch. Like, I thought it would reach seven games because these guys are so, you know, given their history, previous matchups, I thought it would be pretty intense. But nah, man, like, no Kawhi for half of it, too, which also plays a part. So, Mavs, you know, kind of was almost a no-brainer that they'd win the series.
Okay, let's do our teams. So I had Boston sweeping Miami 4-0. Miami had an outlier game.
Wait. First of all, that's your team, and you're already saying that they're going to get swept. That's your team you're supporting. That's a team that you're a fan of.
Bro, there's no Jimmy Butler. You're already saying
they're going to get swept. Yeah, at least give them one game, which they did win. They didn't win one.
Yeah, they got one game. But
yeah, let's give them one game.
Let's be real. Yeah. That was an outlier game. How often are you going to hit 23 threes in a game?
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, as a fan, you know, you're optimistic about your team. Give them at least one game.
Okay, you know? So this, like, is the thing with me. I'm a huge Heat fan, but I'm also a realist. So ideally, of course, I'm going to say Miami could get two games off of them. But realistically, I'm going to keep it real with myself. They're going to get swept.
So you didn't think realistically they get at least one game given the coaching matchups between these two coaches?
No, it was just with no Jimmy. But if we had Jimmy, I would have said at least two. Realistically, at least two.
Because I thought they'd get one, and they did get one.
I thought without Jimmy, because Jimmy's kind of what gets them going. Like, Bam, you know, Bam likes to say, like, he's a killer on the court, but he's kind of like a silent killer. Like, he doesn't really portray it. Whereas Jimmy wants all the smoke. Like, he don't care. And when you're lacking that, like, Udonis Haslam's not there, Jimmy's not there, who's going to light that fire under them to get them going? So, like, yeah.
Yeah, but what I also will say, like, as a counterpoint to that is the Celtics always have that one, like, blip or that one just, like, you know, slip on the banana peel type thing where they just, like, look like they're a bunch of just G League players. You know what I mean? Like, there's always those, like, slip-ups in like their games. Like, they had a few this season where they, like, lost to, you know, whoever it was by like 30 or something, or, like, you know, well, in this case with the one Heat game win that they lost, like, I think they were way worse from three than the Heat. And, like, that's kind of what Celtics losses are mainly, you know, based upon, is their 3-point shooting and their 3-point results. So I mean, like, they always have those, like, instances where they just, like, don't act like themselves.
No, I know exactly what you're saying, but I felt like for this series, it was more so Miami getting lucky from the three than Boston getting unlucky from the three. Because if you look at the rest of the series and how Miami shot from the three, like, I think it was a huge drop off from that game too. You know, when you compare, like, the other, like, shooting percentages. So if Miami did not shoot and make 23 threes, I don't think they would have won that game. It for sure would have been a sweep.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Something I wanted to note when it came to Miami's season ending, it's apparent that they're lacking a significant scorer and a big man.
I mean, they have Terry Rozier, but he's out.
He's solid. You know, don't get me wrong, but, like, I'll throw some names out there that could be a possibility. Before I throw some names out there, did you know, this is maybe my fun fact, but it's everywhere now, so it's not really a fact, Miami had the opportunity of drafting Tyrese Maxey.
Really?
Yeah. In the 2020 NBA draft, with pick number 20, they selected Precious Achiuwa over Tyrese Maxey. Let me ask you this. Had Miami selected Tyrese Maxey, do you think this Miami Heat team with a healthy roster is, like, top three in the East?
So it would be like starting five of, like, Maxey, Jimmy, Jaquez, like,
Martin. I would say Maxey, Hero, Jimmy. We could do Jaquez. Mm-hmm. We could do Bam.
Okay, so what is the question again? What is the?
Do you think with that roster, they would have been a top three team in the East? Yes. Right now?
Yes. I think so. Cause I think that's the one plot hole in the Heat's, you know, main thing is just scoring.
Yeah. Because when one of them doesn't have it going, like, it's like they stall.
Dude, when, yeah, like in the last game,
they're in the mud.
The last game in the series, like, Hero wasn't even shooting that well.
Yeah.
So you guys lost.
So with that, obviously, we're not going to get Maxey, but there's some notable names that could be potential landing spots for Miami. Number one, it would be have to be, we have to, well, his contract's not up, but I was reading earlier today that, like, Pat Riley said that they haven't discussed extending Jimmy's contract yet. Like, he has to play more in order to get that money.
Damn.
And then, like, but he also said Jimmy's not on the trading block. Like, they're not trading Jimmy. But he also said that he wasn't sure if Jimmy was trolling, you know, the Celtics and the Knicks, but if you're not playing, shut up. And I'm like, bro, like,
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
Like, I don't know how to read it. Like, are they annoyed with Jimmy? Are they trying to light a fire under Jimmy? Like, you don't want to make them mad, but at the same time, I see what you're doing. Like, it's the culture thing. You know, they don't mind calling each other out.
It seems more trying to annoy Jimmy. Well, maybe they're annoyed at Jimmy. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Hopefully they get that fixed. I'm a little bit nervous now. So one name that came up earlier, Donovan Mitchell. I think that's a solid pickup.
I mean, if I was the Lakers, I would throw that down. But yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that for them too, though.
Same.
I think at one point he wanted to go there, right?
He wanted to.
Yeah.
He wanted to, but then Cleveland made a better offer to Utah, which, you know.
Yeah, I see.
Because there, you know, that was one of the things I was reading, like, some of the comments when during Pat Riley's conference was like, oh, we want to keep Jimmy. We want to build around Jimmy. You know, there's no talks of extending his contract just yet. We want to see, like, you know, what he could bring to the table. And then people are like, how about you do your job and put people around him, like, put pieces around him so that he could succeed? Like, it's been five years, bro. Like, do something for the man. Like, give him something. You're giving him Orlando Robinson and Drew Smith and Jamal Kane. Like, who?
Bro, Drew Smith, man. Come on. So I don't know what that is.
This is the one that, like, tore his ankle up in that Cleveland.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, he, like, fell off the court. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, another name, potential landing spot for Miami, Brandon Ingram.
Hey, man. I like that because then he has more length, too, and more height.
Yeah. And there's talks that, like, if anyone could fully unleash Brandon Ingram, it would be Miami. Like,
but
potential.
True. But the injury history, though, kind of is similar to Jimmy.
Mm.
They just almost never play.
True. Last one. I don't know how I feel about this one. Kevin Durant. That team would be nasty, but he is mid-30s. Like, he's...
Yeah. He ain't the GOAT, you know, playing at 39 and playing at a high level. So, you're right. I don't know about that.
Oh, Michael Jordan? That's true. Okay. What about your team? Your team obviously faced the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets. I had the Nuggets in six. I honestly wanted to say five, but I was like, I can't do that to Nat. Let me say six, give them a couple games. You had the Lakers in six. Denver won 4-1 in heartbreaking fashion, too.
This hurts, actually. This hurts hearing this right now. It hurts. I'm not going to lie. It hurts.
Jamal Murray. Oh.
We lost two games in that fashion, by the way. Two games.
Oh.
Gosh.
All thanks to this man right here.
Yeah. Darvin Ham. Love it. Okay, so here's what I'll say about the series. I'll keep it short and sweet. I saw this tweet, and it really, I agree with it 100%. I agree 100%. The Lakers had the same talent as Denver, like the same 1 through 10, you know, same talent, but the coaching is what was different.
Oh, 100%.
The coaching. And
awful,
like,
coaching.
All, shout out to Alpha Coaching. But all of the stats of this series just tell you that they should have won the series, because that one main stat that everyone's showing, you know, everywhere, is that they led for majority of the series, like 130 minutes of the series. They led
to, like, 40 something.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just sad, man, because we honestly could have won the series if we just were coached better, honestly. And, you know, who knows if we make it, you know, past round two, given Ant's surge, but we just had it. We had it in our fingertips, and it, like, just flew up just like sand through your fingertips. It was so sad. I was so upset.
Marvin Ham, what are you doing? Ice the screen.
Here you comes head. Podcast boy.
Or some sideline. Oh, you never man. Go over the handoff. I learned so much from him, by the way. Thank Dude, you for
same,
showing
same.
It.
I keep watching him just to like learn about like, you know, coach's eye and everything. I was like, wow, I didn't see that during the game. I didn't see that during the watch that I was doing.
It was funny because like I was showing it to Brain and like, you know, Brain and I were laughing and she was like, wait, he's actually really smart. And then like in the car rides and stuff, I would just blurt out like random stuff like
ice the screen.
And then JP was there. JP was like, oh, awful coaching. So like he knew it too.
He knew? Yeah.
Oh man. That guy's legend, bro. He's so good. He needs to be a coach. Maybe he could coach the Lakers.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You need a better job than Darvin Ham.
Assistant behind JJ and Rondo. Yeah, of course. You know? Yeah.
I love the passion and the intensity. They need that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So for me, the takeaway that I saw was this Nuggets team is not going to win this year.
Ooh. Why?
So, if you look at the rest of the competition, and this kind of segues into our next segment.
Yeah.
If the Los Angeles Lakers, who after maybe the, I'll say after three spots, there's a huge drop off in talent and poorly coached, gave the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets, a hard time, which the Lakers really did do, even though the series was 4-1, a lot of them were really close and it went towards the fourth quarter. And they had to come back and win. This Denver team is definitely beatable. Like I feel like after their main four, it drops off. I don't think they're that deep compared to some of the teams that are left.
You're saying the fourth one be Michael Porter Jr., right?
Yeah.
KCP. Okay.
Yeah. So like to your point, the Lakers and the Nuggets matched up really well, like roster wise. But going to the next round is completely different. Case in point, we've already had the first game of Timberwolves and Denver. Before we continue, I wanted to ask your opinion. Oh, no, I think I did already, right?
Yeah, like over text.
Yeah, like who you had winning and in how many games?
I think I did Wolves in six.
Okay, because I also have Wolves in six. Who do you have as the leading scorer?
Come on now. we know who it's going to be. MJ's son.
Yeah, I have Ant also. I think Ant's gonna, and he already started off really well in that first game.
See the T-Wolves have the recipe to beat the Nuggets.
Yes.
It's just size.
Yes.
Utter size at every position. Because Lakers in 2020 had that same, you know, build. We had size everywhere. We had Dwight, JaVale, AD. We had Caruso, who was lengthy, you know, to guard Jamal Murray. So, I mean, like, that's what you need on your team to beat Denver is just size and then obviously good offense with that size. And T-Wolves got it.
I also feel the Wolves have a really, really good balance of young players and veteran players. So I think that's going to play a huge role throughout this series. Because there's games where against the Lakers, the Nuggets were gassed.
Yeah.
Gassed. And you have a younger, more athletic team that's going to be fast-paced. And, like, you saw Anthony Edwards doing it already in game one. And then, like, I feel like this is the time for, we mentioned Naz Reid earlier not having a good first round. He had a solid game one.
But at the end, he got
14 points in the fourth quarter or something like
exactly.
that. Yeah. And then, to your point, is, you know, the matchup defensively. They got the length, they got the size, they got the speed. I think they're going to give the Nuggets a really tough time, and I have the Timberwolves winning.
Do you know what made it for me, or like what made it certain for me that they would lose? There was one play in game one, play that they always run, that Denver always runs. It's Murray and Jokic pick and roll. Jokic just brings defenders to him, and then they throw it to the lob for Aaron Gordon. Like on.
Yeah, that go to play with Aaron Gordon on the baseline.
Exactly, and in game one. Gobert stops Jokic and then pedals back to stop AG for the lob. Like he like deflects the lob. I'm like, oh, they got it.
Yeah.
Like
that's their go-to play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, man, like if Minnesota's got a game one figured out, like that one play that they always, you know, like get the easy points from, it's done, man.
There's going to be instances where like, you know, there's going to be lapses on defense.
Oh, of course.
But for the most part, they're going to have that locked down.
Yeah.
And then, like, to your point, Rudy Gobert, all you could do is hope to contain Jokic. Like, you don't want to necessarily stop him. Just exactly. contain him. And then
exactly.
It kind of helps. Jamal's only on one leg, really.
Mm-hmm. And I love that they put McDaniels on MPJ, because that stops MPJ from getting hot. Like, because he didn't score like a whole ton in the first quarter. Like, all his shots were hard. So,
yeah.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
So, you and I both have the Wolves in six.
Yep.
Okay, let's stick with the West. We have Mavs versus Thunder. Who do you have winning that series?
I'm going to just go Mavs.
How many games?
Six. I'll go six.
Okay, I have Mavs in seven. Again.
I don't know what it is. All right, this is me personally. I don't know what it is, but I don't fully like Shea. That's my hot take for today. I don't fully like Shea. Shea's got a good game, but I know what you mean. Yeah, see?
Like, as the player, like, it's not like an Anthony Edwards. It's not like a Jason Tatum. You know, there's something about him.
Something about him, yeah. I mean, he's sort of, like, mysterious in a way. But obviously, he produces. He's an MVP candidate. I can't knock that against him. But, like, I don't love him the way I love Ant or Luka or, you know, other stars in this league.
So who do you have as the leading scorer?
Shea.
Okay, yeah, same, yeah. Okay, so you have Mavs in six. I have Mavs in seven. We both have Shea. I think the key factors for the series is definitely going to be Kyrie again. And Gafford, Lively, those guys.
That like, the battle of the bigs. But between Gafford, Lively against Holmgren, who's like a stick.
Yeah.
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 I don't know, man. That's tough.
And PJ Washington.
I'm going. That's true. Yeah. That's true, too. Yep. I'm going just straight based off of experience in this case.
Oh, that's true.
Like, Kyrie and Luka just have the experience over them. And that's my driving force for why I chose them.
Also, my theory is Luka had like a subpar first round. I think he's going to pop off this second round.
Because who's going to guard Luka? Is it Dort, I guess?
It's going to be Dort and Williams. J-Dub.
J-Dub? Really? He's starting? Because I think it's Shea, Giddy, Dort, Jalen Williams, and then Holmgren. So yeah, I don't know who guards. I don't know who guards Luka and Kyrie. Is it Dort and Shea? Maybe Shea on Kyrie. Who knows?
I mean, Shea's a solid defender when you think about it.
Yeah, he is.
But Kyrie, man, he's same thing. You can only hope to contain him. You're not going to stop him.
Yeah.
Hopefully, he keeps playing the way that he's been playing, because he's so fun to watch, bro. So fun. That three that he hit over who was that?
Tucker.
Oh, nasty. Yeah. Filthy. That's the Kyrie I miss watching, bro.
Same, dude.
That's the one. Let's move to the East. We'll start with Celtics versus Cavs.
I mean, it's pretty clear cut, right? Like, if you went to game seven with the Magic, all right? I mean, how far are you going to go against the Celtics? Like, come on. I mean, I don't want to say a sweep because that's rude. So I'll go five games.
Bro, that's exactly what I have. I have Celtics in five. Who do you have as the leading scorer?
I guess Donovan Mitchell, because he's going to try his best.
So last series, I had Jaylen Brown as the leading scorer, which was correct. Against Miami, it was Jaylen Brown. This series, I have Tatum. I feel like Tatum's going to pop off because I don't know who's going to stop him.
Mobley, right? Or Okoro, but he's too small.
We'll see. I think it's going to be – I think Tatum's going to pop off. Also, hold up real quick. Derek White? Bald Derek White? Like this version of Derek White? Bro, they're calling him the Heat Killer now, and I believe it. Like, I'm fully convinced. Oh, yeah. Bro.
Yeah.
Nasty. Oh, I hate that guy. He's so good.
He's like Josh Hart. Like, you just want him on your team.
Yeah.
He uses everything. Yeah.
Josh Hart, but can shoot better.
Definitely.
Yeah. And less annoying. Like, I feel like if I'm in the opposing team, like, I hate Josh Hart. Like, yo, you're so annoying. But, like, Derek White, I'm like, he's a really good defender. Like, I'm not.
He's a silent killer, too. Yeah. Like, I don't think he talks that much trash.
No. He doesn't need to.
Yeah.
He don't need to. As much as it hurts me to say, probably of all the Celtics players, I think Derek White is probably my favorite.
You don't like Sam Hauser?
No.
Peyton Pritchard?
He's second.
Luke Kornet?
No.
I'm naming all the white bench players.
You know why it's Derek White and Peyton Pritchard? They got the most Heat culture. Like, DNA.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I bring that
keep,
all the time.
Keep putting it out there.
Yeah. Next series, Pacers, Knicks.
This is going to be a great series.
I think you and I might differ on this one.
Yes, let's discuss. Okay. So I'm going Knicks in six.
I'm going Pacers.
I knew it.
I'm going Pacers in six.
All right, who starts first? Let's give our testimony.
You go first.
Okay. I think the Pacers can't play better defense than the Knicks. They're a lackluster defensive team. I think Knicks have the pieces to guard the Pacers. So you put OG on Pascal. You put Josh Hart on Haliburton. Everything else can be whatever, right? Obviously, Hardenstein on Turner, of course. But I think the Knicks have the mental capacity, the toughness, the grit to get this done. And to be honest, I think the Pacers kind of got lucky with the Bucks because they weren't fully healthy, and the Bucks just obviously don't gel well together. So I'm going with the Knicks.
I have Pacers because they won their first round series. They have more confidence. They, in my opinion, are a deeper team.
Right. That's true.
Almost like a much deeper team. They're more athletic, I feel like. Whereas the Knicks, where they lack in athleticism, they make up for it in defensive, like, hustle. Like, they're going to go out all defensively. But I feel like the Pacers are going to run a more, no pun intended, a more fast-paced game. As opposed to what Philly was trying to do, where you feed Embiid, and then you got... Basically, all you had to really do was stop Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. You had no one else. This Pacers team's a little bit more tricky. And on top of that, the Knicks are coming off a series where four out of your five starters are averaging more than like 42 like minutes per game. Like, I think that's going to catch up to you at some point, especially against a young Pacers team where all they want to do is like run and gun.
That was my point to you, where it was like the Knicks, yes, they got heavy minutes on their bodies, but they were able to push through anyways, regardless. But you're right, though. Like, the pace does scare me because they're a fast team. Definitely. That might accelerate, you know, how tired the Knicks would be, you know, playing those large minutes. And now, like, your bench is small because Bogdanovich is out, Randle's out, and then now I think they have it's just Deuce McBride and Robinson who comes off the bench for them.
Yeah, it's like a seven-man rotation.
That was it. Yeah, so, I mean.
Whereas, like, with the Pacers, like, you have TJ McConnell, you have Obi Toppin, you have Nesmith, you have Nembhard. Like, you got guys that you could plug in when your starters are getting tired. You just plug them in real quick. You keep that pace going. It's going to be tough. That's tough to keep up with. I'm not saying the Knicks can't do it, which is why I'm giving them at least two. Mm-hmm. They're going to be gassed, bro, with the way that they play on the seven-man rotation.
Can you really say that the Pacers are a conference finals team?
No, but I feel like the way the playoffs have worked out for them is it happens every single year.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, last series it was Giannis and Dame are injured. This series you're going to have a tired, you know, Knicks team. And then you're going to see when they face the Celtics, it's probably going to be a sweep. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, yeah, man, it was everything just worked out in their favor to get to that point.
Also, a very underrated part of the series are all the storylines too. Like, you got Obi, who was a former Knick.
Yep.
You've got Carlisle, who coached Jalen Brunson on the Mavs.
Yep.
So, I mean, a bunch of different intertwined storylines here.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. I like it. So we'll see where we are in about a week with our predictions.
Hopefully sooner than that. You know, hopefully we keep up with the recordings and stuff.
But, right.
Yeah.
Hopefully next Sunday. Hopefully. The other thing, you know, a couple more things before we kind of sign off here. Kind of sidestepping.
Mm-hmm.
You're stepping in a different direction. You're a good, like, a big fan of music.
Yeah.
Have you been keeping up with the Kendrick and Drake thing?
So actually, no, I haven't. Because it just seems too much to, like, absorb all at once. They're like constantly going at it with each other and, like, dropping songs like every like 2 hours. It's insane. Like, I like, no, I'm good. Like, just somebody just give me like the tweet that just summarizes it and I'll be good.
So, like, obviously he started with First Person Shooter with Drake and J. Cole. And then Kendrick came back with Future and Metro Boomin, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And then J. Cole, you know, fired back. But then redacted and like apologized. I think he knew what was coming.
And then he didn't want the smoke, I guess.
Bro, and then it's just been Kendrick and Drake. So Drake answered back, and then something like Kendrick hadn't responded yet, so Drake dropped another one. And then Kendrick dropped like three in a row. And I'm like, bro, like, I've been keeping up with it pretty closely. And I'm sorry, but Drake got murked, bro.
Drake's done. Yeah.
He's done, bro.
No, but like thinking about it, like beef aside, right? Just like those two and like their rap skills, like you can't come against Kendrick and like, you know, try to like beat him. He's just unbeatable.
Obviously, Drake is
I like Kendrick more personally.
Drake is all about making hits and, you know, music that you vibe to. And you Kendrick is more like he's touching your soul. Like you're going to vibe
great
with
him. Lyricist.
Oh,
great
my lyricist. Gosh. I'm like one of the top tier lyricist. And I think that's why. So like Drake, don't get me wrong. He's had like funny, like in his disses, they're pretty funny. But that's the thing. It's all superficial. It's all like surface. Like he's making fun of Kendrick.
Funny time right now. Yeah.
He's making fun of his shoe size, you know, talking about wearing a size 7. He's talking about his height. If you listen to like some of the ones that he did, like Family Matters, he's like, it's, you know, the phrase like, oh, you got your back against the wall. He's like, oh, you got your back up against the curb, you know, because like he's so small, like, you know, so stuff like that, where he's mainly attacking like his physical stature. And like, but then it took like a dark turn where he was going after like his like Kendrick's like inner personal life, like baby mama drama and like,
yeah,
you know, questioning all this stuff. But then the way that Kendrick responded with back to back to back diss tracks, bro, I don't like, he literally buried him lyrically. Like he buried Drake. And like, I know, you have to listen to it, bro. Cause there's one, Meet the Grams, where he's rapping to Drake's family. He's rapping to his son. He's rapping to Drake's mom, Drake's dad. And then supposedly, allegedly, Drake has an illegitimate daughter and Kendrick is rapping to her too. And I'm like, oh my gosh, bro. Like, what is happening right now? And then because, you know, Drake was saying like, you know, they play my stuff in the clubs, they don't really play yours. Kendrick dropped his latest one where it's like, It could be a song.
Yeah, like a more groovy beat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, my God, bro. But he still murked Drake in the process. Like, it's, oh, my gosh, bro.
Real talk, as, like, an innocent bystander to all this, right? As, like, a person who's, like, outside looking in, right? Why can't they just meet up and just talk about this? Like, why can't they just gather, like, at a park or something and just talk about this, like, in public? Like, you know, like...
As long as I've been a fan of rap and hip-hop... I like what Kendrick did when he stirred the pot with like that with Metro Boomin and Future, because to a lot of people, like especially old heads who listen to rap, it's been kind of soft. Like the game has been kind of soft, whereas, you know, you got other guys praising other guys and like not really going after each other. But then like I feel like this is what rap and hip hop needed right now, because I don't think people have been paying as much attention before as they are right now. Like it's so relevant right now. And like people, I mean, you go on YouTube, there's reactions everywhere to like the diss tracks.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh my, and lyrically, bro, like Kendrick is so filthy. He is so filthy, bro.
I can tell by your response that it just was like out of the water. Like it was just,
if you ever get the downtime, I think in total, it's probably going to be like 30 minutes. Like if you listen to the back and forth, like in chronological order of how these were released, it's beautiful. It's a masterpiece. It's like watching a television series where there's drama between two characters. Like it's beautiful. I love it. I'm all for it.
I gotta like catch up on all this stuff.
Yeah. Gotta catch up on it. Speaking of TV shows, last we spoke, I had told you that I hadn't caught up yet in Shogun. Mm-hmm. I finished episode 10. I finished it. Episode 9 broke my heart.
I think 9 was better than 10, bro.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Better than 10.
Oh, for sure. I don't really like how it ended.
9 and 10.
10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too.
Not a huge fan of that. I don't even know this.
I was waiting for the action, and there was no action.
Yeah. Like, give us more. Don't leave us, like, especially if they're not going to do... I don't think there's a second season. Like, I think it was just, like, yeah.
I was looking forward to Crimson Sky, and there was no Crimson Sky. Turns out I was just... It was Mariko. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I get that. But I'm like, oh, dang. I want to see some cool like sword fights or some cool, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought maybe he would have learned how to use like, you know, a sword and something. But
yeah, I want to see that too. But oh well.
But the other thing that made me mad is, you know, there's this, they're raving about the cannons and the use of the cannons and the tactics with the cannon. Like, there's only one scene with the
dun- Where was that?
Yeah, it was only one scene. When Varanaga's son kills, you know, that one dude.
Yeah, yep.
That's it. That's the only thing with the cannons. I'm like, bro, what's the whole deal with the cannons? You're not going to use them. I thought that's what Crimson Sky was going to be.
I know.
I also finished Warrior. That series is really good. I really hope Netflix, like, picks it up and, like, they do, like, a fourth season. It really, bro, I'm telling you, I feel like you could get hooked on it.
I need to start Peaky Blinders first.
Oh my gosh, bro.
But I mean, for me at least, next month is a good month for me. Okay. All my shows come back for their new seasons. The Bear, The Boys, you and I both like The Boys.
Yeah.
And House of the Dragon. So I'm excited for that next month.
Okay. Warrior, Peaky Blinders, you know, Brain and I are pretty much, I think we're on season 5. There's been some things where like she's beside herself. Like it's so good. It's so good. Like, it's funny too, because at work I have like a really dope like aesthetic poster. Okay. I'll give you a sample. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, we got samples now. Samples? So there's more than one?
So like, for example, yeah, I have this. Oh wait, hold on. Let me turn off my
I can't see you with the Darvin Ham clipboard of nothing on the screen.
Let me turn
just that motivational off. Words.
Let's see.
Darvin Ham, man. Oh, here we go. Oh, nice.
So, like, you see, like, it's like Post Malone and it has like tracks and stuff on the bottom here. So there's a super aesthetic one like this, but with Peaky Blinders. And at work today, one of the cadets came in like to take care of something, and he was with his boy and he was like, yo, Peaky Blinder poster. And friend's like, what was that? And he was like, tell him. I'm like, yeah, he knows.
Yeah.
People know.
He knows. You know.
Maybe. You mentioned the three shows that you got coming up next month. Is there anything you're currently watching?
Currently watching? Actually, no. It's been all NBA. I'm watching all the games.
I have a recommendation for you. Another one.
Okay. What is it?
Fallout.
You're like the fifth person that told me to watch that bro. Series.
Bro.
You're in disbelief.
Like,
really?
I feel like it's up your alley. Like, I feel like you would like it.
Yeah, it's like a game turned into a show, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think it follows the game like super closely, but the concepts are all there and everything. But the storyline, bro. Oh,
dang.
It's so good.
Like, you gotta lost your words. I gotta watch this now. Shoot.
But yeah, it's good. I'm mad that I finished it last night. Like, I have nothing to look forward to now. Okay. Before we wrap up, it's that time. Fun fact of the day.
I'm a little shy to say this one because, you know, it wasn't as well researched as I would like, but I thought it interesting regardless. So my NBA fun fact is Steven Adams is he on the Rockets now or Grizzlies? I forget. Because he got traded at some point. But you know,
he's on the Rockets.
Aquaman. All right, Steven Adams. He's the youngest of 18 children. obviously there's multiple partners with his dad, but
right,
I don't know, it's a lot. 18's a lot. I don't know, it was just very tricky.
No, it is, you know, a lot. ESPN did like a feature on him probably like maybe 6 years ago now, talking about like his journey to the NBA, and I saw that, you know, he's
the that? Okay.
yeah so but still
18,
nevertheless, man, that's wild. In New Zealand. Like, what are they doing out there? I mean, they're isolated, so I get it.
Oh, yeah. Not much to do around there, huh?
It's like the Philippines.
Don't worry, I'll come better prepared next recording for NBA fun facts. It'll blow your mind, I guarantee it.
So we got the fun fact for next week. We got a recap of where we're going to be in round 2 of the playoffs. Probably another TV show update, and we'll kind of sprinkle in some WNBA action.
Oh, Dylan
Clark.
May 18th.
Work
against Liberty. May 18th.
It looks pretty good so far.
Can't wait for that.
She looks pretty good so far. Anything else before we go?
Nah, man. I'm going to say just go Wolves.
Go Wolves.
ABN. Anyone but Nuggets.
ABN. All the way.
That's right.
All right, Nat. I'll see you next week.
See you.
Nat.